gentlemen, boys and girls, and nerds of all ages, welcome to Nerdy Notions. I am your fabulous host, Sasha Kaplan, and I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Caitlin Moore.
Hey, folks.
So we are starting a very contentious subject, shall we say?
Yeah, you can definitely say that. We're here to talk about Spider-Man.
Specifically, we're starting off with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man film, which came out in, what, 2002, I think?
I think I remember this coming out in theaters, and that was the only time I've seen it until today.
That is truly wild. Yeah, so the movie premiered in May 3rd, 2002. And it grossed $825 million. Keep in mind, this is like the dark ages where comic book movies barely had any kind of existence. Because this was like only 2 years after the first X-Men movie came out, and not that far off from X2, and the Blade movies had already come out by then, or a few of them had. This is still uncharted waters because nobody really knows if this like whole Spider-Man movie is going to be successful. But we're not judging it by 2002 standards. We're judging this by 2023 standards.
Because of course we are, because we don't have a time machine yet.
I mean, maybe it's a little unfair to judge it by 2023 standards.
Nope, perfectly valid.
Okay, so I guess let's start with the music, actually, because the soundtrack for this movie is phenomenal.
Okay, I will take your word for that. I barely paid attention to it, but sure, we'll talk about the soundtrack. I heard nice, pretty music in the background is my understanding of what was going on.
So just like with the dark, just like with Batman, just like with Superman, Spider-Man does have his own theme song. And the music was made by Danny Elfman, who also worked on Batman 1989, Men in Black, and Beetlejuice. So this is a pretty decent, level of experience. But anyway, that's my little tidbit. I also have a weird note here that says, oh yeah, he also worked on Doctor Strange and Justice League. They can't all be winners.
No, they can't.
So on that note, we start with like this weird intro, which I have a note that says very comic book style credits with the webs and the opening theme music.
I felt like we haven't gotten this kind of intro to a movie for a long time, and it flashed me back like to when this movie was made. And I was like, okay. I completely forgot this, but you know what? It was good. It actually set the tone for the movie really, really well.
I agree with you. It got you kind of excited because there's like all of these webs and they're coming forward and you're getting like the names of the director and everything. And it's like, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So there's an opening narration of basically how sad Peter's life is. That's the verbatim note I have here. And the story is about, okay, well, this is a story about Peter, and it's a story about the girl next door, aka Mary Jane Watson.
Which is fair. I mean, look, we are not going to get a Gwen Stacy movie until the next set, but starting with Mary Jane Watson probably was the smarter choice, as she has much more comic book history, and I get why they made that decision.
Yeah, especially going off the tales of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon where Gwen Stacy did not even factor in at all. Peter's love interests included, there was Felicia Hardy, there was Mary Jane, there was like Liz, the girl that in the lab, and there was also Silver Sable for a minute there. So it's sort of, you're right, it does make sense to just go with Mary Jane because that's the one everyone knows.
Yep.
But this story has a kind of an unfortunate beginning, at least for Peter.
Peter's life is awful in the start of this movie. He can't even catch the bus. He's getting bullied by Flash Thompson, who's dating the love of his life. And it's
even the bus driver doesn't like him.
No, the bus driver doesn't like him. He gets to school and he meets his best friend Harry, and then Harry's dad like absolutely adores him, and that was fun. But then you just like basically get to watch Peter being bullied for like the first like 10, 15, 20 minutes of this movie.
It was really funny when he gets on the bus and even like the nerdy girl is like, no. Like even the nerds, which like I don't actually understand why even the nerds don't like Peter. Like he's a, well, I think one issue with this movie is that we're kind of told Peter is like smart and bookish and techie, but we don't ever see it.
The only time we do is, and this is jumping a little bit ahead, is when they go into the field trip. And I have no idea where they went.
Just Oscorp.
Apparently Spite. No, I don't think it was Oscorp. I think it was somewhere else. Because...
Oh, it was a... Wait, I think I have a note of... I think it was a lab at Columbia University. That's what it was.
Yeah, basically it was a spider factory is all... The name doesn't matter. It was a spider factory. And he talks about this electron microscope. And that's the only time we see that he's an actual scientist in this movie.
Yeah, him geeking out of a microscope. So, okay. So what's interesting here is we kind of get established into our characters, right? Peter is the dork that no one likes and has no friends. Mary Jane is the nice girl next door because she forces the bus to stop. And he goes to, this is like senior year at Midtown High, and they're on this field trip at to the Columbia Science Department. There's a like dorky moment where Peter thinks Mary Jane is like waving at him, but she's like meeting her friends, and Harry and Norman pull up in a Rolls Royce in front of Columbia, and Harry's kind of embarrassed by the money, but we're also told that Harry's kind of a bozo who's flunked out of like every private school Norman has sent him to. Because all he really actually wants desperately is for daddy to tell him he loves him.
Pretty much. He has very much a daddy complex in this movie, and it shows. And if I remember the rest of the movie trilogy, it never goes away.
Nope, it just gets worse. Or it's heightened by the events of this movie to take him into a direction that we'll get to when we get to.
Yeah, so basically you got this daddy's boy who's best friends with Peter, the guy that no one likes for some reason. And of course, you'll find out later that he's also in love with Mary Jane. Because why wouldn't he be?
Peter and Harry? Oh my god, they're fighting over a girl. Because there's nothing more early 2000s loved more than love triangles that no one asked for. No one.
Oh yeah.
Granted, like, this isn't completely out of nowhere. There was also a love triangle in the comics where it was like a whole thing where Mary Jane was like briefly with Harry while Harry was dealing with the effects of the globulus green. And then like, she wasn't with Harry. And then, you know, Gwen Stacy dies. And it's a whole thing. But we're not here to talk about comics or hear Sasha talk about how much of a comic book historian she is. So we're introduced to 32 species of spiders in this fancy lab. And Peter apparently isn't allowed to get photos because even photos for the school paper are a no-no for the bullies. Like, this is just cartoonish. Also, I find it funny that Flash Thompson is played by Sofia Vergara's now ex-husband.
Oh, seriously? Did not know that.
Yeah, because I was looking at him like, this actor's really familiar. I'm like, oh, he's Sofia Vergara's husband.
Oh, cool.
Or ex-husband. But yeah, so it was really funny. And like, we should also point out, like, none of these people look like they're teenagers in any way, shape, or form. Except maybe James Franco.
Maybe if you squinted. Yeah, but no, like, this scene is so silly, and it's so 2000s, because the bullies just, like, again, hate Peter for no reason. Like, I don't know what Peter did in this universe to cause this much hatred that he can't even, you know, like, take a photo. But, and then they never get called out for it. Like,
yeah, actually,
no comeuppance. Like,
well, ever. Flash gets some comeuppance later, but
accidentally.
Well, better late than never. But, well, this is the other thing. This movie, so by this point, Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man, has been around since 1964. So about 45-ish years. of Spider-Man. And this movie, unlike later iterations, is really so each of the Spider-Man trilogies actually borrows from a different Spider-Man comic book, which is really, really fun. And I don't know how intentional that was, but it's brilliant. So this Spider-Man film is, I think, the most akin to the original 1964 Ditko Kirby Lee comic. Whereas in like in the 60s cliche, Peter's bullied because he's like the nerd and he's like science fair kid. Whereas like we don't really see that so much in this movie. We just see Peter's a dork and no one likes him. Oh, and he's also incapable of talking to girls.
Oh, 100%. That causes half the issues with Mary Jane in the first place.
Yep. So Peter drops some spider knowledge on us. And what I don't get is like, so I understand, I can almost understand Peter being bullied, but why do the bullies hate Harry? He's filthy rich.
That's why they hate him. I have no idea.
Like, are they jealous? Because like, you know, in other iterations of Harry Osborn, we see that like people want to flaunt to him because of his money, but don't actually want to be friends with him because he's like, for example, in like Spectacular Spider-Man. Right? Harry wants to fit in, he wants to be popular, but he's so dorky and scrawny that like that I understand, but people still kind of want to pal around with him because he pays for stuff. And that's actually part of the episode, one of the episodes. But here it's like, you guys hate Harry. Why?
Because he's friends with Peter. I have no idea.
All right. Well, oh, there's also a weird reference to Donald Trump in this.
What's there?
There's something about like getting fired, or like maybe I'm just like reading too much into it, but it seemed like it was like a reference to like rich man businessman Donald Trump, not like obviously President Donald Trump.
It's possible given what was happening at the time.
But I have a note here. It says Osborne Trump referenced dot 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 aged dot 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 into something. Because not all references are created equal, you know, 20 years in retrospectively.
Nope. So anyway, it's at this spider lab where it's essentially a spider lab, like that Peter gets, of course, bitten by the radioactive spider.
That Mary Jane technically calls out about first, because they talk about how there's like these 15 genetically modified super spiders. And Mary Jane's like, oh, there's 14. And the teacher, the tour guide lady's like, oh, I guess maybe they took one for testing. And I'm like, no, they didn't. It escaped. I'm trying to figure out how that spider escaped, though.
Well, it's a radioactive spider, so who knows? But we wouldn't have a movie if it didn't.
That's true. So Peter's sort of trying to take... Oh, there's like a moment where Harry steals Peter's spider trivia. And then the teacher takes Harry away because he's being... disruptive, I guess, even though the teacher kind of just looks like all of the other students. Actors, man. So Peter is takes pictures of Mary Jane with the spiders as like the spider descends down. And you see like they did a really good job from a cinematography perspective of just like giving us the spider's perspective as it comes down the web onto Peter's hand holding the camera. And then, of course, it bites.
And we get Spider-Man, or at least not yet.
So, we get weirdly intoxicated Peter Parker.
Yeah, which is fun. Oh, by the way, what's fun is the spider lives, so it can go on to bite other people.
Which begs the... that's a good point. I didn't think of that. We could have had an entire, not that we had a lot of other spider characters roaming around, but we had Spider-Woman in the comics at that point. Like, he could have done something. The Clone Saga existed by that point. Like, not that anybody wants that in a movie, but
please request if you want Caitlin to rant about the Clone Saga for 2 hours.
Tweet at us. Do it. Okay, so meanwhile, we leave Peter alone. We go to Norman Osborn and Oscorp, where they're working on some military stuff. They have, like, a glider. They have, like, some fancy exosuit. And but what the military really wants is human performance enhancements. What's another way to say human performance enhancements?
Look, they essentially want the super soldier serum, okay? Like, that's pretty much what they're working on. 100%. But of course, Oscorp hasn't perfected it yet, because this isn't Captain America.
But also because no one can replicate the super soldier serum. We've seen that in the Hulk. We've seen it in like 5,000 other movies of like, it only worked twice, technically.
Technically, yeah. So because the army also has a thing against Osborn for some reason, he's going to pull all the funding away from Oscorp if they don't perfect this super soldier serum and give it to one of the competitors.
So this government, even though Norman, that's not how government contracts work.
Movie logic. Look, I wish that's how government contracts work. It would make the world a lot more exciting, but no. So Norman Osborn is put into a bind. So he does what any logical CEO of an entire company will do, test the thing on himself.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been an actual CEO in real life that would first experiment on himself. And like, let's be real here. Norman took one for the team in this.
So what this is actually start of what I would call the B plot, and it's, I completely forgot this was happening, is that Norman Osborn actually has like a corporate hostage like takeover plot line in this movie, and it is amazing.
But like, this movie does deliver some interesting mini arcs, right? There's obviously Peter stuff, there's Norman stuff, and then there's like a little bit of a Mary Jane side plot, sort of. But even then, the kind of is mostly because of her interactions with Peter. But at this point, we are introduced to Cliff Robertson as Ben Parker and Rosemary Harris as Aunt May. And they are pretty adorable. We see Ben changing light bulbs, and we find out he was an electrician who's been laid off. And they're talking about how like he needs to get a job, and he's like, ah yes, computer this, computer that. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea what the job market's gonna look like in 20 years.
No.
So Peter comes home and he's acting like, if this is my kid and he just came home, I would wonder if he's on drugs. Because
actually, yes.
He has this like, I'm intoxicated or I'm ill kind of like air. And he's like, I'm just gonna go to bed now. Mm-hmm. And Aunt May and Ben are like, okay.
It's like teenagers.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's the reaction. So Peter takes a nap. Meanwhile, we see Norman getting into the he injects himself with the serum with the help of the doctor that technically said the serum wasn't ready to the military guys.
Yeah.
And so the thing goes, and it looks like Norman's dead. And then the other doctor scientist comes to check on him. And there's like that arm we see, and it like chokes and throws the scientist back.
So what essentially happened is, this is where Norman Osborn gets a second personality, and it's the Green Goblin.
Yes. So then we come back to Peter. He wakes up and he doesn't need his glasses anymore. And he got abs.
Yes. So this is where he starts figuring out, oh, something weird has happened. Maybe I should do something about this. But yeah, no, he's got abs. He's now fit. He can do things that he wasn't able to do before. And all of that. He's still acting weirdly. So,
yeah. So Aunt May and
Peter. So he acts weirdly throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, we're learning how to talk to girls, okay? Life is a struggle, and Peter Parker doesn't get a happy ending, like, ever in anything. So we just wait for more misery and more guilt and more things to pile on to the top of this pile. So we learned that MJ is his next-door neighbor, and we actually learned later in the movie that apparently Peter's been in love with Mary Jane since, like, he was 6. Or 8 or something, since like the 4th grade.
What we also learn, I think, in this scene is that Mary Jane lives in an abusive household, which is a fact I completely forgot was in this movie.
That's actually one of the things I remembered in this movie, because I remember there's a scene later on where it's like nighttime and Mary Jane comes out after her dad is yelling at her about something. I don't remember what he was yelling at her about, but I remember the yelling scene, and then I remember her standing in front of the trash cans crying. I don't know why I remember that, but that's just wild to me. So I have MJ's dad is a jerk, and Peter still can't talk to a girl, misses the bus again. And this time he doesn't even bother to, he starts chasing the bike or the bus, the bike, and his hand sticks to the sign and just peels the sign off the bus, which was a very nice effect.
Yeah, and this is where he starts to realize that, oh, he can stick to things.
Meanwhile, Harry finds Norman passed out, and Norman's having some memory issues. Wonder what that's about.
No, we'll find out later.
So we find out that the professor is dead and that the glider and exosuit have been stolen.
By who, we wonder.
I know, it's a real head scratcher, this mystery. So at lunch, there's an amazing practical effect where MJ slips with her tray and Peter catches it. And what I love and is kind of horrifying is that this is not CGI or computer graphics in any way. This is an actual practical effect that they did, like, as far as I remember, it was like a ton of takes to get it right. There's no like string or anything to pull the things in the tray back down. It just has to be Tobey Maguire doing this trick,
Yeah,
which is
and like
insane.
the effects of this movie are actually really good, even looking back at it like now. Like, stuff that they did was actually really clever.
There is one scene that we will get to later that I laugh so hard now because it's we'll get there, but I have some interesting tidbits for that. So Peter is, for some reason, I have a note that says Peter is more attractive now. He does
He is.
he comes off more heroic, I guess.
Yeah, and then, well, this is also the scene in the cafeteria where he accidentally brains Flash Thompson with a food tray.
Yeah, and then he ends up like leaving with the tray following him along on a web, and no one notices how the tray stuck to him.
Yeah, and then basically this leads to them fighting in a hallway, and one thing this movie does do is that they really play with the spider sense or spidey sense really, really well. And so Peter's able to win this fight because of the spidey sense.
And there's a point where Flash like tries to land a punch, and we see how Peter is able to quickly dodge. And this is one of the very few times I actually like the use of slow-mo here, because it shows it from the like audience's perspective and then switches it very briefly to show it from Peter's perspective, which I appreciate, because as people that have been watching and li or listening to Nerdy Notions before know, I hate slow-mo fast things. But this is a very careful use of it, so I'm gonna give them points. Then Peter decides to climb a building. Peter's called a freak for some reason. I don't really understand that part of it. Like, Flash has been a jerk to literally everyone, and like, what did you like? Peter doesn't land a punch. He's just cool. Like, in today's world, if he'd done that to a bully, he'd be called a badass and given like a trophy.
Yeah, pretty much. But it comes to bite him later when he has to have the talk with Uncle Ben in the car.
Yeah, so Peter decides to leave school. He climbs the buildings. There's a really funny, like, we have the web scene of him trying to get the webs to come out. And this is the one and only time in comic book adaptation of Spider-Man, animation or live action, where the webs are not web shooters. And I remember that throwing me off when I watched it as a kid.
It is such a weird decision, but I get it because they didn't really make Peter a scientist in this movie. And they were, re and I think the main focus was on really the love triangle that they're just like, you know what, let's just make this biological and save us a bunch of time.
There's also a fun little bit of references in the scene, because he says, Shazam, up, up, and away, web, which is a nice callback to like other comic iterations, although
Oh.
weirdly DC ones.
Oh yeah, no, but they make a really good reference, Marvel reference later on that I'll point out when we get to that scene.
What I also really like is the general design for the webs themselves. They have this cool, like, shiny little finish on them. And I don't know, we'll have to look up on the IMDb trivia if they explain how the webs worked, but I really like the design for them, even though we don't see a lot of them, a lot of it. So Peter misses painting the kitchen with Uncle Ben. He hears MJ and her dad yelling. This is the scene where she comes out into the backyard, and mm-hmm. Peter, like, conveniently decides to pick that moment to take out the trash. And apparently Peter freaked everyone out at school, and there's this moment of, like, Peter wants to be a photographer while he's in college. What he wants to major in college and what he wants to do with his life beyond that, we don't know. And MJ wants to be an actress. They have this, like, bonding moment, and Peter's actually very encouraging considering he can't really talk to girls. So this is a good scene for him. So Flash shows up in a fancy car, and Peter decides, okay, so if he wants to get a girl, he needs a car, which is a very teenage thing to do. So how does a kid make money?
Get a part-time job.
No, that get takes too job. Long. That takes too long.
Steal it. No, but he's a good guy. Ask his family. They're broke. I know. We're going to join a wrestling competition that is offering a couple grand, and if he can beat the champion, then he wins the money. Because that makes sense.
So there's a really fun little montage here where Peter starts designing his suit and everything, and he has, like, those cool drawings that really harken back to Spider-Man artists. I don't know, I'll have to look it up, who did the drawings actually, but I hope it was a comic book artist, because the designs were really, really good and definitely reminded me of the comics. So let's see, Norman is in trouble and is hearing voices. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. Peter gets a ride to the library, air quotes. And this is where he has that talk with Uncle Ben. But how does this talk go?
Don't bully people. With great power comes great responsibility.
I'm sure we'll never hear that again.
Nope. That's the only time we ever hear this line.
And then Uncle Ben says something along the lines of, like, look, I'm not your father. And Peter's like, then stop pretending to be. And I'm like, bro, that was uncalled for. He's literally the only father you've ever known.
Is one thing they don't do in this movie. We have no knowledge about whose Peter's parents are, what they did, or what happened to them. He just lives with his aunt and uncle, which is fine.
No, because we'll leave that to the next trilogy.
Yes.
Oh, you're right. It's not even a trilogy.
No.
All right. Well, then we get to... Peter doesn't go to the library. He goes to this wrestling underground tournament. And what famous actress, before she became... famous and is truly a treasure, has a small part in this movie as the check-in person.
What? Really? I don't know.
Octavia Spencer.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I did not know that. You're just filled with trivia today.
Yeah, no, because first of all, I'm a huge, huge fan of Octavia Spencer. She's incredible. But I saw her, I'm like, hey, that is so cool.
So I kind of really dig this scene, and it's super, super weird. So basically, we get to watch this pro wrestler beat the crap out of several guys, and then we get to see Peter sign up for it, and they're like, seriously, dude, you really want to do this? And he's like, yeah, I'm sure. I want the money for the car to impress the girl next door who I barely talk to.
Yeah, and they're like, you're gonna get cream, but okay, sign the release forms. The thing is not, like, we're not in any way liable if you get killed, basically.
Yeah, so essentially he gets into this really homemade costume. They it's try adorable. And introduce he wants to be introduced as the human spider, which, dumb name. And so the announcer calls him out on it, and he's like, here's Spider-Man.
No. Yay. The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's true. The Amazing Spider-Man. So, and then he walks out and they're all, like, booing him and throwing stuff and making his life miserable. And then it turns out to be a cage match.
Yep.
So, it was like just a really good action scene, frankly. Like, I like what they did with it. And of course, he wins.
But before we get that, there's one very poorly aged line that Peter throws out, because one of the things about this Peter Parker, at least in the first movie, he's not very quippy.
No.
But he says, "That's a cute outfit. Did your husband give it to you?" And like, if this is 2023, the answer would have been, "Yeah, you got a problem with that." But this pissed off the wrestler guy, I guess.
See, so if I had to do this, like, this is very much nerdy Peter Parker. This isn't quippy Peter Parker. We're not going to get quippy Peter Parker for a while yet, but this is very much the bullied nerd Peter, even like after he becomes Spider-Man.
So Peter wins, but despite the fact that he gave a pretty good show, he only gets $100. Why is that?
Well, because he beat the guy in 2 minutes instead of three, of course.
Apparently, that was in the fine print. Psh, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, but it's not like he wants to actually keep the money. What a novel concept. So,
and he bet against the Peter, essentially. So, or I guess everybody else probably bet against Peter. So he made bank because they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, then. So on the way out, Peter leaves. There's a guy runs in and steals the money. Peter doesn't stop him. And he says something like, "That's not my problem." Or like, Peter's like, "I really need this money." And the like announcer guy says, "That's not my problem." And so when the burglar or whatever is running out and the guy's like, "Why didn't you stop him?" Peter's like, "That's not my problem."
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly valid. But so, as we know for Spider-Man, actions have consequences.
So, of course, he lets this guy escape. And next thing he know, Uncle Ben is dead on the street from a carjacking.
Well, he's not dead yet. He dies on the street with Peter ugly crying.
Yes. So he dies in Peter's arms. Peter feels bad, so he goes hunt down the guy who killed him. And it turns out, it's the guy he let escape who stole the money!
So it's really interesting, because the way they filmed this is, I'm going to geek out, because they filmed this really well. You have a mix of light and dark scenes where the dude's face is lighter and like we can see who it is. It's the same guy we saw earlier, but Peter can't see him. And so the realization is, you know, more jarring, because we know what's going on. We know what just happened. The guy that Peter let get away just killed his uncle. And so it's that shock and that like terror. Peter gets shot at. There's like this, like some cool warehouse actions. And we have that like cool scene where the guy's like walking around and Peter drops from the web upside down. Like, it's hard not to geek out on these small little subtle moments.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very good. Like, when he's Spider-Man, he's an excellent Spider-Man.
So the robber trips, falls, and dies. Oops. Peter escapes, and then Peter comes home to Aunt May crying. So the military, meanwhile, is meeting with a competition and they're kind of in cahoots to put Norman Osborn out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Goblin comes in and blows everything up because, well, we don't really know him as the Goblin. It's just some dude in a fun little outfit in a cool glider thingy.
Look, we know it's the Green Goblin. It's like,
well, we spoilers, do, but the non-comic
for this
book
movie, it's the Green Goblin, and he blows up. It kills all the military personnel, and then later Norman Osborn wakes up and is like, "Oh my gosh, what happened?"
So Peter and Mary Jane and Harry and all of them graduate.
Yay.
And Peter's moving in with Harry. I'm like, dude, that's fast, but I understand. Look, also, we don't know what college Peter goes to either.
Yeah, and look, they only had the one bed. It was really tragic.
This is 2002. They are very much only hetero roommates.
Look, all I'm saying is that if this movie was made in 2023, they would have one bed. Or at least fan fiction would give them one bed.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, people listening to this, tell us your favorite Spider-Man love interest. Because I think a lot of people are probably going to say Deadpool or Johnny Storm. I'm going to say Kitty Pryde, because they're both basically Jewish. And Kitty's literally 100% canonically Jewish. So, like, and it's the only Peter she hasn't dated yet.
That is true.
In
yes.
616, at least.
So for me, it's Gwen Stacy, and we'll get to that in like the next set of movies. But yeah, they move in together. And it's honestly like, I like that concept. Like, they're best friends. Why wouldn't they move in together?
Especially when Daddy Norman's foot in the bill for a very nice apartment in Manhattan. I mean,
absolutely. And like, we occasionally see this apartment, and it's super cute, actually.
It's really nice. It has that like kind of industrial feel, and it's kind of like both modern and a little bit vintage. So it's really nice.
Yeah.
So Flash and Mary Jane break up literally at graduation.
And did we forget they were dating? Because they were dating for some reason.
Well, they have some kind of argument in the background. Their entire relationship exists in the periphery. Because again, this movie is told largely from two perspectives. Peter's and Norman's.
Yeah. We'll later learn that she is now officially dating Harry. Because that happened off screen.
Yes. And then Norman basically gives Peter some advice and essentially says that he sees him as another son and a brother to Harry. That is so cute. Nothing will come and ruin that later.
Then let's see if the Green Goblin feels the same way.
So let's see. Peter cries some more later. Aunt May misses Uncle Ben, and Peter talks about regretting the last conversation he had with Ben. And basically Aunt May tells him that that Uncle Ben thought that Peter was meant for great things. So then he pulls out the spider sweater and the sketch, and then you have the great power, great responsibility voiceover from Cliff Robertson as Uncle Ben. So let's see. What do I have? Peter stops a convenience store robbery. And then you see like the people's reaction to Peter. And it very much gives us that low-scale, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man stuff that I love.
Oh, yeah. This is the best neighborhood Spider-Man, at least in this movie. I'll make an argument that the second one did it just as well, just differently. But for this movie, I actually really like that they really play with this neighborhood Spider-Man thing. And I like how they interview random citizens.
Yep.
Asking them this opinion. And then this is also the movie trilogy that has J. Jonah Jameson in it, and it's amazing.
Look, I think the J. Jonah Jameson, J.K. Simmons made Jonah Jameson an icon just in this movie alone. To the point that like I don't know if I could ever see anybody else doing JJJ, but
and he is such a good character. Like, we will get into it when we meet him.
We still have a lot of movie to get to before we get there.
We have a lot. This, like, I didn't realize how much is in this movie.
They packed a lot.
Compared to its runtime.
All right, let's see. So this is our transition. So then there's a jewelry store robbery that Peter foils. And I was like, how does everybody know that Spider-Man is stopping these crimes? And I get my answer. Just when I have a question, this movie gives me the answer, which is he leaves a little note that says from your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So then we get Triple J and Peter's new suit and J. Jonah Jameson calling him a public menace. And someone else comes in, I guess it's like Ben Urich or something, and he's like, hey, someone else and Conway are having an issue on page 6. For those that don't know, Jerry Conway started out as a 19-year-old wunderkind kid that wrote Spider-Man and is the guy, one of the two people responsible, along with the late, great John Romita Sr., for the murder of Caitlin's beloved Gwen Stacy. But
yes.
So he wrote a lot of really, really good Spider-Man stories. And so this is a really nice reference. Let's see. So J. Jonah Jameson, played by J.K. Simmons, is talking to Robbie Robertson, played by Bill Nunn, about the fact that they can't get any good pictures of Spider-Man. So they offer up some money for some pictures of Spider-Man. As one does.
You know, they mentioned Eddie Brock in this scene. It's really cute.
They did mention Eddie Brock because Eddie's on the story, apparently.
Yeah. So he gets like a 2-second name drop.
Let's see. Where did I go?
So they basically put out this ad for Spider-Man photos. And then I think we cut to Peter in his apartment with Harry.
No, we actually run into Peter running into Mary Jane, who's
working
in
a
diner.
Oh, we have the restaurant. We have the diner scene, right? So, by the way, I think we forgot to mention, in this movie trilogy, Mary Jane really wants to be an actress.
I mean, yeah, that's on par for the comics.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so she really wants to be an actress, but instead she's kind of stuck doing this job at the diner, but she's telling Peter that she's actually doing rehearsals and auditions, and of course she's lying because the owner of the diner comes out and yells at her for taking cash out of the till.
Well, we don't know if she actually did or not.
Yeah, like
he
either
just said
or,
that the till is short.
And this is where we also learn that she is dating Harry.
Which Peter did not know, and Harry did not tell him.
Which I get why. Like, they're best friends, and Harry knows that Peter has a crush on her. So, like, I get why not telling your best friend that, by the way, I'm dating the girl you're in love with.
Yeah. So we also find out that 2 seconds later, we find out that Peter was working for a guy named Dr. Connors.
Yeah, that's my actual favorite reference in this movie. And it is super cute. If you know who Dr. Connors is, he shows up in Amazing Spider-Man.
And Peter got fired, by the way.
Because he's Peter got fired because he kept showing up late to work because he's Spider-Man.
Yep. So Norman offers to help. Basically, Harry's like, hey, Dad, can you help Peter find a job? And Peter, Norman's like, yeah, sure, bro. Like, let me help you, kid. And Peter's like, no. I can't let you do that. I'm like, Peter, a CEO is offering to help you find a job. This is 2023. You would be so happy right now.
Oh my God. Like, if he offered that to Tom Holland Spider-Man, it'd be like no brainer.
Exactly. So, Peter's like, no, it's fine. I'll find a job. Peter's got like some pride. So Peter manages to get some great pictures of Spider-Man. He sees the ad for $300. So he goes in and Jameson is like, these are crap. And Peter's like, okay, I'll take it somewhere else. And he's like, well, okay, maybe they don't suck completely. Here you go. Here's some money. Take it to the girl. By the way, do you know who is playing Betty Brand?
No.
Elizabeth Banks.
Wow. Okay.
Like, this is a movie that has some amazing... Wait, I'm sorry. I have the entire cast in front of me. And... I'm very confused by one. Lucy Lawless is in this movie.
As who?
It just says punk rock girl.
I have
dramatic
no
pause.
Okay. No idea. Apparently everybody's in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of like just people, you know, for I think this is just like a lot of actors. What? This is so confusing.
So yeah, now Peter is freelancing at the newspaper and basically sending in photos of himself, which sounds about right for Spider-Man and Peter Parker. This is actually a movie that's really like close to the comic books in a lot of ways, and it's super nice.
No, definitely. This is like we'll get to this when we talk about kind of all of the different Spider-Man iterations, but as I said earlier, this is 60s Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Amazing Spider-Man will follow later comics, The Amazing Spider-Man, and then Tom Holland is a little bit more Ultimate Spider-Man. And so that's why you have three very different, yet not so different versions of Spider-Man.
So I think after this point, do we get the board scene with Norman Osborn?
We also get another moment of Peter can't talk to a girl, but yes. Because
yeah.
He can't talk to Betty Brand. But so Oscorp surpasses Quest, but the company is being sold for reasons that we don't really understand. And the entire board hates Osborn, which again, why?
I've no. So basically the board's like, yeah, we're going to make a shit ton of money and we are going to sell your company and kick you out. And of course, Norman doesn't like this idea. So he... eventually it's like, we're going to announce the sale at this weird festival thing, which the name completely eludes me.
It doesn't matter. They're selling it to someone else, and Norman is like, he's pissed, which, like, he has every right to be. What he does about it, however, is okay.
No. So I think we cut to this festival then, and basically Harry took Mary Jane there. He makes this really snide comment about her wearing black, and in like 2023 should have slapped him and immediately broke up. But this is not 2023. And then Peter is also there taking photos of the entire thing. And then essentially Green Glob.
Spidey sense goes off.
Yeah, and Green Goblin shows up and blows everything up.
Along with the entire board on the balcony. Or at least two members of the board on the balcony.
Oh, he basically murders all the people who are trying to sell Norman Osborn's company.
Funny that.
Yeah, go figure. And so Harry gets knocked out. Mary Jane almost dies. And this is the first time she's saved by Spider-Man.
Which will not be the last time, let me tell you. Not even just in this movie. But
she gets saved like three times.
At least.
So this is where, so Spider-Man takes her to a random rooftop, and she asks him who he is, and she says, I'm just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and then leaps off the building.
So I think this is where the scene is of Mary Jane holding tightly on to what is supposed to be Spider-Man, but is very clearly a dummy that they just swung with Kristen Dunst on.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah.
Because she's like holding on and screaming. And it's just like.
Look, not everything aged well, but I get why they did it. It's better than half the CGI nonsense we get these days.
I agree, but it's so funny to me. It's so funny.
If you're expecting a dark, gritty, real to life Spider-Man movie, this is not it, folks.
This is much more, like, when we get to more of the action scenes, this is much more, with some exception, it's much more hand-to-hand combat and less thwip-thwip, jumpy-jumpy stuff. Which, fair.
And I think I know why, and it's to save on CGI money and other things.
So I know this is a Sony production, but all of the budget probably went to the X-Men.
Yeah, probably.
Even though the X-Men were Fox.
So this is where Mary Jane starts to fall in love with Spider-Man. And I think after this point, we cut back to the apartment and she's talking on the phone with Harry, telling him how amazing Spider-Man is.
Yep. Yeah, and I have Peter's MJ gushing about Spidey to Harry. And then Harry finally tells Peter about MJ. Which is not like, hey, by the way, I'm really sorry, but, like, I'm dating Mary Jane. It was like, I'm sorry to tell you about the fact that I've been dating Mary Jane since, like, graduation, basically. So Norman's hearing voices, and this scene of Norman essentially talking to the goblin in the mirror, like, William Dafoe's acting in this is so good.
The only reason I think this went as well as it did, it's because it's William Dafoe doing it. If they got anybody else, this would have been ridiculous to watch.
Because not only does he tweak his voice a little bit, his facial expression changes completely to the point that it's almost unrecognizable. Because, like, we've never actually seen Goblin without the mask at this point. Like, we've seen Norman Osborn's arm, right? We've seen the Goblin in the exosuit, but we've never actually seen what Goblin looks like without the mask, essentially, even though we know it's Norman Osborn. So the contrast is this, like, nice rich guy who just wants to succeed in business and being nice to his son's best friend, twist into this, like, villain is so good. So good.
So it's fantastic.
So Triple J is the first one to actually call him the Green Goblin. And somebody suggests something else, and JJ's like, no.
Right. So yeah, this is where he starts posting like headlines about the Green Goblin and calling Spider-Man a menace. And of course, Peter Parker tries to argue this, and he never succeeds.
Well, because what happens is JJ says that, like, oh, Spider-Man and Goblin are probably working together. And Peter's like, no, that's not what happened. And then Peter throws a cigar and it gets tossed back at him when Norman shows up and Peter runs away basically so he can change into his Spider-Man costume and come back. And this is where something very interesting happens. In spite of JJ being an absolute jerk to everyone around him, and with Goblin threatening to murder him, what does JJ do?
I love this scene, and I forgot this because this made JJ one of my favorite characters in this movie, is he refuses to tell Green Goblin that it's Peter Parker who's sending him the photos, and he defends this kid that he barely can stand.
He's like, I don't know, his photos come in the mail. And I'm like, wow, JJ. Because up until this point, JJ hasn't been nice to he hasn't been nice to anyone.
Yeah.
He's very much that like stereotypical like New York Times level like angry man with a cigar editor person.
Which, by the way, I would love a Madman version of like J. Jonah Jameson just running his like newspaper. Like that would be amazing. We're never going to get it,
What's also
but
nice is that we've seen the editor for the Daily Planet in the DC universe, right? In all of the iterations of Superman. So JJ also stands in contrast to that editor. I don't remember his name. Perry White in Superman. So it's really well, I mean, like obviously in the comics they're different as well, but to see it on screen, and this is a vi so it gives JJ a more unique character, essentially.
so Spider-Man rescues JJ from the Green Goblin, and they have a fight, and Green Goblin basically asks, come join me on the dark side and think about all we can accomplish. And Peter's like, I'm not like you, I'm not a murderer. And then they have this actually really good back and forth where it's like, think about all we could become working together.
Yeah. And then William Dafoe's character says something like, in spite of it, even he gives him time to think and says, in spite of everything you've done to for them, eventually they will hate you.
Yep.
And then we get this rain scene where Mary Jane is like leaving something and some bad dude decides to follow her. And then like more bad guys descend. I'm like, is this like just like a gang that found a girl and they haven't seen one before, so they all just kind of pounce, which they do.
So, to give context to this particular scene, she's coming out of an audition for a soap opera. Peter also happens to be there because he's kind
Yes.
of because her mom told his aunt, who told him, so conga line of ladies. And so he went to go check on her. And as she's going home, she ends up getting accosted by this gang of people. And of course, Spider-Man saves her.
Yeah,
And
funny that.
this is where we get the upside down kiss. And this is where you also realize, if you've been tracking, that she's technically cheating on Harry with Spider-Man at this point.
What's also pretty funny is that Peter, when she looks at Peter, steps in, but like he doesn't have his mask on at first. And then he puts it on and he says, I was in the neighborhood. And Peter also earlier in the scene told Mary Jane that, yeah, I was in the neighborhood. So that should have
Like, she should have
helped.
figured it out by now.
I
Like,
know, but it was a very stressful situation. She probably entirely forgot about her conversation with Peter because she was worried about, not getting the R word.
yeah.
So they do the upside down kiss for Peter in the rain. Spidey coming in. Oh, Peter also saves a baby. Oh, there's a
Yep.
fire. And then there's another woman screaming, and it's Goblin.
So I like this scene too because it showcases his relationship with the cops. So essentially, the cops come over. There's this burning building. The cops come over to arrest Spider-Man, but they all hear this woman screaming, and they know that no one can get to her on time but Spider-Man. So the cops are like, "Go rescue her, and we'll leave it as it is."
Yep. I'm trying to find the name of the cop or the actor who played the cop. I just had it up 2 seconds ago. Because I'm fascinated by all of the actors that have, you know, small parts in this movie, which is really, really cool. But anyway, I'm not finding it now. That's okay. But something, there's a weird line of awkward dialogue here, though. Goblin says something like, "You're out, Peter," and or Spider-Man, and Goblin's or Peter's response is, "It's you who's out, Gobby." And I'm like, that's so awkward and cliche, but there it is. We also find out it is Thanksgiving. Oh, there's also a really cool scene here where Goblin throws like these like weird little like battering kind of things at Peter. And Peter dodges them because, you know, Spidey sense and he's got good reflexes and stuff. And it was really, really well done. Again, mostly practical maneuvering here. I think there was a little bit CGI in the darts themselves. But so then we find out it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is a Thanksgiving movie officially. So whenever you're snuggled up for all that turkey, go put on Spider-Man 1 in the background.
So Norman comes in and and you know, he says, "Hello, Aunt May." I'm like, you can't call her May or Mrs. Parker, which he does. Then he like, as he's leaving, he calls her Mrs. Parker. But Peter gets cut in his hand. And so they hear Peter like upstairs, they go upstairs, they don't find him. And we see this like little drop of blood and Norman doesn't notice the little drop of blood, but there's a little drop of blood.
Basically, he got cut on his hand during his fight with Green Goblin and the fire building, and we all know Green Goblin is Norman Osborn at this point. So Norman Osborn is trying to piece together that, oh, maybe Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
No. There's a very specific scene where he realizes it, and it dawns on his face at this Thanksgiving dinner. There's a moment where he like dips his finger in a very childlike manner into the like sweet potatoes or something, and Aunt May slaps his hand away. And because at this point we know there's like 100% certainty that Norman is Goblin, so you kind of almost have this like because Norman's gonna kill Aunt May, which obviously he doesn't, but you're worried about Aunt May for a second. So then ominous knife handling, I have that note because he's like just like ready to carve the turkey. Peter comes in and he's bleeding. And this is where Norman realizes this is the exact same place he cut Spider-Man. So he's like, oh, crap, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. He freaks out, apologizes to Mrs. Parker, and leaves. Mm-hmm. Harry follows because Harry wanted MJ to meet Norman and for Norman to meet MJ. And, oof, Norman rips a new one.
Mm-hmm. And
this is the first time that not Goblin, but Norman Osborn has said something genuinely horrible. And he basically accuses Mary Jane of being a gold digger, says some nasty things, and Harry's like, well, no, she's not, but Daddy, please love me. And then MJ's like, yeah, thanks for defending me there, Harry. Great job. Harry says something stupid about like, oh, you should listen to my father. I'm like, no, child, no. So MJ leaves, and nobody gets to have Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
Peter actually tried to claim that he like fell, so he got grazed by a bicyclist or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, sure, kid. Peter is easily hurt in a way. Oh, there's like this moment with Osborn and Goblin where it's like Peter is easily hurt in a way Spider-Man isn't vulnerable, because nobody knows Spider-Man and who he is and who his family is, but Peter Parker.
So at this point, now that Green Goblin / Norman Osborn know who he is, they go off and try to kill Aunt May. Well, they don't kill her per se. They scare her enough that she ends up in the hospital.
Also, Aunt May is like weirdly religious in this movie.
Yes.
She wants to say grace at Thanksgiving. She's praying before she goes to bed. I'm like, okay. And I think it was Sam Raimi who said something about, like, this Spider-Man being Jewish. And I'm like, I mean, Peter could be Jewish, but Aunt May clearly is not.
I mean, like, who knows?
The fans know. Okay. So, where am I here? So, Aunt May ends up in the hospital. And Let's see. May praying, it's weird. She's attacked. Peter realizes that Goblin attacked May and knows who he is. He stays at May's bedside. Then MJ comes over, says she's like not in love with Harry. She's really into someone else. And Peter takes it well, actually. He's like, I think he knows.
Yeah.
And they have this like really sweet moment. And he basically tells her that he knows Spider-Man because, you know, he takes his picture. He's in the byline of the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, he asked me about you. And she's like, oh, what did you tell him? And Peter talks about her eyes. And it's sweet. It's actually very sweet. It's
really cute.
As much as I really love making fun of Mary Jane and Peter Parker in this trilogy, it is a very sweet moment. Harry comes in as MJ's like holding hands and staring lovingly into Peter's eyes. Then Peter tells all of this to Peter's been into oh Harry tells Norman that Peter's been in love with MJ since like the fourth grade. Norman says he's proud of Harry and hugs him. There's some note about Peter missing classes or having homework or something because he's in college. And there's also a scene earlier where when Peter comes home to tell him that he got fired, that Harry's like, can you help me understand this? And I'm like, oh, you got into college, really? That's impressive. Mm-hmm. How much did Daddy pay for that?
Yeah.
So Aunt May tells Peter what a love-struck dork he was when MJ first moved in next door.
Mm-hmm.
And then a goblin kidnaps Mary Jane.
Yes.
And MJ wakes up on top of a bridge.
This is not calling back to anything at all.
So for those that don't know, this is very much hearkening to the death of Gwen Stacy. Even though this has nothing to do with Gwen Stacy, but it's the goblin, it's the girlfriend on the bridge. Pretty self-explanatory there.
Yep.
Like, as a first-time viewer, like, I could actually see people being like, especially like comic book nerds, seeing this for the first time being like, oh wait, they're not going to kill Mary Jane off that quickly, are they?
No.
So let's see. MJ wakes up on the bridge. Goblin starts bombing stuff. He kidnaps some children. He also, like, there's a trolley that I guess is going from, like, Roosevelt Island back to Manhattan. So this is mm-hmm. This is the Queensboro Bridge. For those that are, like, New York geographiles and want to visit all of the fun spots of where things happen to comic book superheroes.
That should be a bus tour.
You know, that will be our next venture. If the podcast makes it big, we will open up our own super cool New York. Actually, no, we're not going to do that. Do you know why?
Because that requires us to go to New York.
That requires for us to live in New York.
I mean, hey guys, if this episode goes well, we'll vlog a trip to New York City and see all the superhero spots.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see the numbers. So then the goblin grabs the trolley. And so he basically gives Peter the ultimate trolley problem. Save a bunch of Boy Scouts in the trolley or save your girlfriend. I mean, totally not girlfriend.
Yeah, because at this point, they're actually not dating.
Yeah, so Gabby lets both parties go. And Peter does actually a decent job of holding on to both of them somehow. MJ screams, Goblin's not done yet. MJ has to climb down because there's a barge that's coming and they're like, we got you, hold on, Spider-Man. So the barge comes down and eventually Peter's able to set the trolley down and Mary Jane has to climb down past Spider-Man to get onto the barge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Goblin takes Peter to some abandoned house on Roosevelt, some abandoned manor on Roosevelt Island. And there Peter falls. There's basically a moment here for several minutes where Peter just gets pounded on by the goblin.
Yep.
Then Peter knocks.
Now, like I said, the action scenes in this movie are actually pretty good, and you can see how hurt Peter is in this scene. Like, they go for it.
His mask rips off, basically. Yeah.
Like, this really is a tone change from the rest of the movie because this actually feels serious and real, and like this hurts Peter, and you can tell.
Consequences, consequences, consequences.
Yeah.
So Peter starts fighting back. He does some web stuff. He knocks him down. There's something decent choreography of him like shooting the webs and like using them to ricochet a couple times. Somebody takes off Norman's helmet, and this is where Peter realizes that Norman Osborn is Goblin. He
Oh.
totally didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. And
Norman's
then I love the speech Norman gives, because you don't know if it's Norman or Green Goblin talking.
Yes.
And it's so good because he basically asks Peter for help.
Yep. He's like, oh, I've been like a father to, been like a father to Peter. And meanwhile, as Norman, air quotes, is talking, his hands are doing something entirely different. He's got something going on. And he tells Peter, like, I've been like a father to you. And Peter tells him, I have a father. His name was Ben Parker.
Oh, which calls back to the earlier scene, which just makes this movie, it's a circle, folks. We got us a circle.
I like when things come full circle in a movie. So then the Spidey sense goes off, which again harkens back to earlier scenes. Peter jumps out of the glider's way, and the glider impales Norman.
Yeah. So, like, Norman dies in this movie. Like, he is dead.
And his last words were?
God, what was this? Don't tell Harry.
Don't tell Harry. So Peter doesn't leave it here, because he could have just left Norman and gone away. He actually takes Norman's body home for hashtag reasons, I guess, so people don't find out he was the Goblin.
Yeah.
To again protect Harry.
But then Harry walks in to see Spider-Man doing this, and his first thought is like, what did you do? And this will lead into something that we'll see, is that he thinks Spider-Man killed his dad.
Sure, that won't have any far-reaching consequences into the next two movies.
Not at all.
So at the funeral, Peter confronts Harry, and Harry says that Spider-Man will pay. And then he hugs Peter and says, thank God for you, Peter. You're the only family I have left. I'm like, oh, oof. Oof, I want to kill you, but I love you.
And then they have a very cute scene with Mary Jane, where she basically confesses that she's been in love with Peter this whole time. And Peter, and I'm like, this is a bad opportunity. You're at the funeral of like your ex's dad. And I'm like, okay. And then Peter's like, I can't be with you because I'm Spider-Man, without saying that he's Spider-Man.
So there's also this like ending monologue about the price the loved ones will pay for heroes and stuff like that. They talk about Uncle Ben. And MJ specifically tells him that when she was up on the bridge, she wasn't thinking about Spider-Man. She was thinking about Peter Parker. So, and she tells Peter that she loves him. They kiss. And then Peter tells her that he can't be with her. And then there's a moment where like she cries, he leaves. And then she sort of has this realization that like, oh, wait a minute. Something's familiar about this kiss. And then there's an ending narration about, you know, the gift and the curse and what it means to be Spider-Man. This movie packed a lot in.
This movie was better than I thought it was going to be. Because, like, I think I've only seen this movie before, again, recently, like, once or twice. And I remember liking it. I don't remember anything outstanding about it. But this movie did something that most movies have never done. This movie actually had a lot of content. None of it felt rushed. And it managed to tell a story within a convenient amount of time. There was very, very little filler in this movie.
I will say one thing, that this is not a Spider-Man movie. This is a Peter Parker movie.
Yeah.
In the same way that there's like Batman movies and there's Bruce Wayne movies, this is very much a Peter Parker movie, because he's kind of a schmuck. He's very
schmuck,
but that's the point. He's a teenage nitwit who now has all of these powers and all of the responsibility. I think we hear that with great power comes great responsibility thing three times in this movie. So the movie, when it came out in 2002, actually grossed $100 million in its opening weekend. I'm reading the IMDb trivia now. At the time, no movie had done so, even when adjusted for inflation. So the fact that this movie brought in a lot of money is really impressive. But this movie, and ironically, we're actually recording this on September 11th.
Hey.
Is that... Wait. Yeah. So when the movie was in production, they released some... They had a promo poster or a teaser poster that had like Spider-Man's face and he had the New York skyline in the visor that included the World Trade Center towers. So in the wake of the attack, Sony recalled the posters. Not all of the posters were recovered. You can still find some of them in, you know, reviews and online. However, they're very, like, the leftover posters that were collected, purchased, found, are actually very highly priced collector's items. Oh, this is also the first movie that had the flipping pages of Marvel's logo on it.
Yes. So, like, we kind of did the entire synopsis of this movie, and then, like, there's a lot here, and I guess the question becomes is, one, did you like it?
Oh! Okay, so I before we get to, I enjoyed this movie as a kid. Watching it as an adult, it's very dated, but it still has a lot of charm that I think has been missing in some ways, right? Peter was like our first reluctant superhero. He's not Superman, who takes on this responsibility because he's, you know, an alien from outer space. He's not Batman who's he's basically Batman, but without money.
He's broke Batman.
Broke Batman, guys. Checking the trivia, I discovered that Lucy Lawless's cameo. She's the punk rock girl that says guy with eight hands sounds hot.
Oh.
And the reason she got this cameo was because Sam Raimi previously worked with her on, of course, Xena Warrior Princess.
Makes sense.
And then Bruce Campbell, speaking of like other famous people, also has a small part in this movie. He's the wrestling referee who gives Peter the name The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's hilarious. Okay.
And then lastly, Stan Lee has a cameo about an hour into the movie during the world, you know, because if we don't mention it, someone else will, that he's like protecting a little girl or something during the goblin attack.
Yeah.
But this movie is wild. It feels like a Spider-Man movie. It's a little bit light on Spider-Man, but it needs to be. Because it's not so much about what Spider-Man can do. It's about how Peter Parker makes Spider-Man into what we know it to be.
I think this is a good movie. I enjoyed myself watching it, which took me by surprise. I think this is the perfect kind of lead up to what we get from what I remember of into Spider-Man 2.
So it's funny thinking about Spider-Man 2 because that is considered the best of the trilogy. But aside from Doc Ock, who is my favorite Spider-Man villain, I don't really remember much. Oh, I remember Peter's weird apartment that he moves into that is like super, super run down, and he has a Polish landlord or something.
We will talk about that movie more next time. But yes, in terms of this is a very much strong Peter Parker movie. Again, if you wanted quippy Peter Parker, this isn't it. It's nerdy Peter Parker, but it's a good vibe. It fits him. It's a good also romantic drama nonsense with all the love triangles and things and Harry trying to impress his dad.
It's very much about Peter learning what with great power comes great responsibility means for the first time ever. And oh, I got the answer to my question. Spider-Man's webbing in the film is made out of a foam materials and fishing lines, which was then enhanced by CGI. So it is both a practical effect and a CGI effect.
Oh, that's cool.
I love this. Tell us what your favorite scene of this movie was. Because I really, really want to see that. Oh, it says scenes of New Yorkers throwing trash at the Green Goblin and Spider-Man perched alongside the American flag were added after September 11th to reflect the city's sense of unity and patriotism. All right, well, that's enough IMDb trivia, but there's tons of more. Go look up the IMDb trivia. There's like an entire slew of fun facts about this movie. But we're at almost the hour and a half mark, so I think we got to cut it before everybody's like, oh my God, this is the longest podcast episode ever. I hate it. So, Caitlin, have you found the social medias, or are you still not fighting me on it?
I am still finding the social medias, as I am against what Twitter is doing, and I refuse to call it by its new name.
I don't know what the new name is. I'm sorry.
I,
Even though
no
I
one.
am on Twitter.
Oh, so, but you can find me on Tumblr as Flying Night Witch if you are looking for me.
That's actually a very cool name. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, which is at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan, despite what the MCU is doing to him and making me cry. But that's a subject for another day. So join us next time as we jump into the much anticipated sequel, Spider-Man 2.
All right.